Hello and welcome to our final lesson here in the little book of 2 Peter. Again, the focus here for Peter at the end of his life, this is what he said, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So it's the end of the line for Peter, and as we get to the end of his life, what is his focus? His focus is on the corruption of Christian leadership and his concern for the remnant, those that really want to stand true in an age of apostasy. In verse 1 and 2, he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior." So he starts out, he says, beloved. Jude did that when he wrote his letter about the age of apostasy. He's looking for those who really stand true for the word of God in a wicked age like today. He said, "I now write unto you." I write unto you. When we listen to a message, we should listen to a message from the word of God as if God was talking to us personally. He said, "I'm writing to you." He said, "I want to stir up your pure minds concerning the words that were spoken by the holy prophets," that's the Old Testament prophets, "and us, the apostles," in the New Testament. He said, "I want you to stop and think." These are his last words. He wants us to stop and think about some things here. Now, we are dealing here with the facts. We need to face the facts, and we need to face the future. The facts concerning the world today is exactly the way that God said it would be at the end of the age, and one word will describe it, and that word is anarchy. However, when it comes to Christianity, one word will describe that today, and that word is apostasy. However, what Peter is concerned about here, and what Jude was concerned about when he wrote about the same subject, was apathy amongst the remnant. We need to be very careful that we are going to be mindful of the words that were spoken throughout the Word of God concerning the age in which we're living. If we're not careful, as those who are sincere and really want to do right, we're going to get apathetic about the situation that's going on. Jesus said this in Matthew 21:28, "What think ye? What do you think?" One of the greatest days in my life as a Christian was when I decided to do my own thinking. I used to let all my friends do my thinking for me because I want to think like they think, so then we'll all get along, and that old nature wants to get along with everybody. And Jesus said, "What do you think? What do you think?" One day I put everything in neutral, and I got into the Word of God, and I said, "I'm going to find out what I believe about everything. I know what this fundamentalist pastor believes, or this leader, and I know what that one believes. What do I believe?" I took 5 years, and I studied every doctrine in the Bible. I said, "Now, what do I believe about separation? What do I believe about music? What do I believe about standards? What do I believe about the local church?" I took 5 years. I'm a slow learner, but I took 5 years. Now, I didn't get what I believe from some hyped-up emotional preacher's meeting. I got it from the Word of God. And my beliefs, I'm still working on them, as a matter of fact, and I may not have them all correct yet, and I doubt if I do, but one thing I do know is I'm going to let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God direct me rather than somebody with great swelling words in this age of apostasy of today. I'm not saying we shouldn't listen to preachers. I'm saying we should be like they were in the New Testament, where Paul commended them because after he preached, he said, "You're doing it right if you go home and check the scriptures daily to see if what I'm saying is so." What think ye? What do you think? Peter said here, "I want to stir up your mind about what you should be thinking." Now, he said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now notice it says, these scoffers, they're not talking, they're walking. Scoffers walking. Jude put it this way, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. That word mockers in Jude is the same word translated scoffers here. Now, according to the dictionary, a mocker is not authentic or real, but without the intention to deceive. We have a lot of people today who are deceiving a lot of people. They don't have the intention to deceive. They actually think they're doing right because they're ignorant of what things are going on in this last age of apostasy. But they're not authentic or real, but without the intention to deceive. And so Peter says, watch out for these scoffers who are walking. And they're walking after their own lust, and by their walk, they're saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You can tell by their actions. Actions speak a whole lot louder than words. And so by their actions and how so-called many fundamentalists today are living, they're saying, no, I'm going after my own. Now, that word lust, we said before, that it's been translated desires. And so I want my desire. Maybe I want a big church. Maybe I want my friends to like me. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe a whole lot of other things. Maybe what we should do is just get into the Word of God and do what it says. Now, 2 Peter 3:5 says they are willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. Paul said in Romans, I would not have you to be ignorant. 1 Corinthians, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12, he said, I would not have you ignorant. 2 Corinthians 1, I would not, brethren, have you ignorant. 1 Thessalonians, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. But beloved, he said, Peter said in 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant. And if we're ignorant, it's because we are willingly ignorant. Paul finally said, I can't tell you any more about this. He went on to say, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. We have two heresies I want to point out in the next two verses. And that is, look at verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, here's two heresies we're facing in this age of apostasy. One is Calvinism. He said, God is not willing that any should perish. Is there any part of that that's really difficult to understand? He's not willing that any should perish. John Calvin said, and I quote, we call predestination God's eternal decree by which he compacted with himself what he willed to become of each man, for all are not created in equal condition. Rather, eternal life is foreordained for some and eternal damnation for others. That is heresy. John Calvin taught that God would be glorified by bringing people into this world to have them burn in hell for eternity. According to Calvinism, it might be your mother, it might be your little boy, it might be your daughter, your wife, and all the children in the church nursery that God would delight in sending to hell, that they would burn there forever, and it might even be you. That is a blatant attack on the character of God. That is heresy. God is not willing that any should perish. That's pretty simple. Another heresy that we have today is you don't need to repent in order to be saved. Repentance is commanded by God. It is mentioned 60 times in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He said it again 2 verses later in Acts 17. We read, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We have this damnable heresy today that you don't need to repent, only believe. Well, the Bible says the devil believes. He's not going to heaven. Wake up! These are serious issues. Well, in the next couple of verses, he talks about all these things shall be. He said the heavens shall pass away, the elements shall burn up with fervent heat, the earth and all the works that are done in this earth, all these things shall be dissolved. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. He said, as a result of this, as a remnant today, we need to look. We need to be diligent. He said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now, I want to look at something that I think really reveals to us the humility of Peter. I've said before, I really like Peter. He had his ups and downs. He was usually talking when he should have been listening, and he made a lot of mistakes. But, you know, look at these verses here. This is the end of his life now. He's going to say very few little words left to say. And he says here something about Paul. He said, in the account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction. Now he says, our beloved brother Paul. Think about that for a minute. Remember, it was Paul who rebuked Peter openly before them all. He openly rebuked them. It was what he rebuked Peter about. It was shortly after that they had that big meeting in Jerusalem there, and they were trying to sort out some things. And Paul said they seemed to be somewhat beside themselves. That had nothing to me. He had understood in detail what they were trying to figure out. Paul already knew it. And it was the very thing that Paul had rebuked Peter about just before that meeting had happened. And when we get into that meeting, if you study it back there in the book of Acts, finally, Peter stands up and he says, Paul is right. He's right on the very thing he openly rebuked him about. And now as he comes to the end of his life here, he says, even as our brother Paul, our beloved brother Paul, in his wisdom. He says, things are hard to be understood. I don't think Peter understood everything that Paul understood. Paul had that time alone with God on the mountain. If you remember, God met with Moses on a mountain, and he gave him instructions for that Old Testament era. And then when Paul got saved in Damascus, he had to travel, he had to walk over 100 miles to go to that same mountain where Moses had met with God, and God gave instructions to Paul about this New Testament era in which we are living in. And Paul went on to write about 2/3 of the New Testament. Now, as a result of being alone with God on that mountain, he understood some things. He said they seemed to be somewhat in conference. That had nothing to me. I got it straight from Jesus on the mountain there. And so now the whole issue here, we're looking at today in this age of apostasy, and we get someone who might rebuke us openly. Are we humble about that? Would we stop and say, yes, I need to listen to whatever God wants to say here? Peter did. Now let's finally look at his last words. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And so here's Peter's final words. Let me read 17 again. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Remember, he said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and ever. Amen. So we conclude this session on the little book of 2 Peter. If you do these things, you shall never fall.